Hi, this is Will.
And this is Jay.
Welcome to our podcast,
Not Just Sports.
Just two bros sitting down talking about everything, not just sports.
On this series, we'll be taking you with us on the trails and spills, highs and lows, disappointments and excitements at the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar. And of course, there can only be one winner. So as you say in Nigeria,
breakfast will reach everybody. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the World Cup series on your favorite podcast, Not Just Sports, with Will and Jay. I'm Will.
I'm Jay.
Nice to have you guys with us today. So we're going to be talking about the fixtures of yesterday, as usual, our predictions, how that went, and the fixtures of today, and yeah, what we expect, and our predictions for today. So let's kick off. So Josh, yesterday, hey.
I feel good. Yeah, yesterday was actually a very good day, both for me and for the countries that I was in favor of. Man, what can I say? It doesn't get better than this, does it?
I mean, it does.
Yeah, that's Brazil winning the World Cup. It does. It actually does. But what can I say? Yesterday, Morocco-Canada. Man, we expected the game to be like tightly contested, but because of the superiority of Canada, of Morocco, of late in the group, surprisingly, I expected Morocco to win. And you saw goals in the game, definitely, as we predicted. But it was a close one. Like, I felt like Canada, they had no reason to fight for a draw, right?
Yeah.
But what can I say? It's best to go out training a hard punch like Germany.
Yeah, for real, yeah.
It was nice. ZH, as usual, scoring 4 minutes into the game. Like, he's still carrying on with his World Cup form. And it got me thinking, like, how do you think this guy's future is going to be in Chelsea when he goes back?
Most of the time, we find out that it's not really the player, it's just the environment.
Yes.
Yeah, so we wouldn't know how he would perform when he goes back to Chelsea, but for now, he's building on a mad form right now in the World Cup with Morocco.
If you were to give him an advice now, what would you tell him to do? Remain in Chelsea and fight for your position, or you want him to go? And if you want him to move out of Chelsea, do you have any club in particular you see him going back to?
Honestly, no. Hakim Ziyech is good, but he should just, if he wants to stay in Chelsea, if he doesn't want to stay in Chelsea, that's down to him. Right now, I wouldn't even like have a club where I see him playing, you know.
For Ajax. How do you see him going back to Ajax?
I think Ajax would be good without him at this point.
Like the person that we saw score half.
Yep.
Hakim Ziyech was removed from the Moroccan squad before the World Cup, and he was called back by the new and appointed coach. And I think he has showed the coach the reason why he called him back, sending Morocco into the round of 16.
Table toppers.
Surprisingly, yeah. Like when the drafts were drawn, I'm not sure anyone would have seen as in Morocco actually coming out of that group. Morocco and Croatia coming out of the group.
No, I mean, much less them being on top of the table.
Exactly. We all expected probably Belgium and Croatia qualifying because they were like the toughest teams that were there. But surprisingly, Croatia is in second place and then Morocco qualified. I don't know if that's a good or a bad team, right? I feel like it's actually a good team for Croatia taking second.
Yeah, because they play Japan.
Yes, and then they play Japan instead of Spain. And now Morocco goes on to play Spain. I don't know, is that like a good thing?
No, but I think Morocco might actually have a chance against Spain.
But them winning against Spain, we'll see them play against the likes of either Portugal or...
At this point, it's just a win your next game thing.
You're not thinking about
the future. I mean, you are on a certain level, you're actually thinking about who you meet if you pass this obstacle.
You have to pass
about that, but yeah, you have to actually
to actually think about who you're going to
play against. Because thankfully they have like a day or two to prepare
for the quarterfinals.
So when you win your round of 16 game, then you can now.
They have 2 days off. They have 2 days off before it continues again. What can I say? Credit to Morocco and credit to me also for hitting the correct score.
Nice one.
6 points. That was what Morocco could do for us yesterday. But Belgium, we always expected Belgium to win.
Yeah.
Croatia, Belgium. Like, we felt like that will see like Belgium win the game and then qualify ahead of Croatia. What is went wrong for Belgium?
Honestly, I wouldn't know what went wrong for Belgium because they had 16 shots in the game.
Yeah.
They had 16 shots, 3 on target, but still 16 shots, and they created chances. They had most of the possession against Croatia. They had more passes, pass accuracy. Like, they had the chance to actually get a goal. Not once, not twice, they had a chance. But big ups to Big Lukaku for sending Belgium back, home, because he did it.
I mean, do you think that's fair? Because he's coming back from an injury and he's not completely fit.
Okay, if you say that's not fair, then the coach also has a part to play, because I'm sure there are players. Belgium had players.
He tried Batshuayi for the first 2 games. It worked once. Second time, it didn't work.
Is there no other player apart from Batshuayi?
Any other 9? I think it's only 2 of them for them.
They play Trossard.
Yeah, Trossard is plays on the wing.
But the way their formation was set up, he was not playing on the wing.
Yeah, I think it was more of a fluid formation that on paper is not actually what they play on the pitch. It's more or less interchanging based on the pattern of the opposing team. And we all know how fluid Croatia can be also. So I don't really know. I don't want to base it off on Lukaku's mistakes. It's easy to do that.
Yeah, if we can talk about tactics all we want, yeah, and how like the coach may have got it wrong and everything.
Yeah.
But when what it all comes down to is what happens on the pitch. And on the pitch, this guy had chances. And he did not take them.
Yeah.
So it's we can
it's like Muller and Havertz yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah. Muller had chances and
Havertz
he didn't take them.
He took his chances.
So
he didn't get the hat trick.
Yeah, not just Muller, but like the entire I won't say the entire German team. I would just say most of the forwards.
Yes.
They had chances
to score.
But credit to Keylor Navas, credit to the players missing the chances. Well, yeah, no, see, yesterday
he helped Spain qualify. That was sad. I feel like I'm that shitty. I'll just say, guys, straight though. Let's go out with Spain, because we can't help Spain qualify and then go out. Makes no sense.
Yesterday's
job's really at stake, right? Flick, his job's really at stake. Like, him winning or losing the game doesn't really matter. It might matter, but honestly, it doesn't really matter. So right now, he just kept the right mind competition.
He just wanted to show that, okay, see,
we are good.
Yeah, we're actually good. Because, like, that's the thing. They play good football.
I feel like he shouldn't be sacked, because he actually brought a team that plays very well.
Yeah.
It's not his fault that they weren't clinical. He actually played good football, but his players were including like
they considered to but you get. So like they played really well. They played really well. They are as in going forward in transition, like they played really well. All those nice flicks, 1-2 passes.
And Musiala was one to watch. As we said yesterday, I think he's actually the star of the competition, irrespective of the fact that he's
going out. Yeah.
Because watching him play was like a breath of fresh air. So like, as we said, we were watching a young Messi.
Without the finishing.
Yeah, you can take away the finishing, but as in play-wise.
Yeah.
We're watching a young Messi, and that's not something that has been easy to say. We have linked a lot of players to the likes of the potential Messi, right?
Yeah.
And really, I see it in this guy. It's crazy because he has actually, he has English and German ties, and he decided to play for Germany.
Yeah.
How do you think it's been if he was actually playing the English team? Because this is kind of the same thing that happened with Bellingham. Doing that, Bellingham was like a pure English boy, so he just strictly decided England, allowing them to go to Germany to go and perform, and then coming back.
Well, see, I don't know how it would have been with Musiala if he was in England. I don't think he may have even started any game.
You should. I feel like where I saw him play, right, and what I watched from Mount in a couple of games, like you definitely get the nod ahead of Mount.
You know how these things is, how tricky these things are with Gareth Southgate. So the players you might expect to be picked end up sitting on the bench.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, I'm glad we got to see Musiala on big stage and he showed the world how great he is.
Definitely.
Sorry, but he's out of the competition. But what can we say about that? All we can say is good luck to him and Bayern Munich as they continue their search for trophies this season. With that, we move to the last game of the day, which was Japan against Spain.
Well, the two
you
last
called me
games.
Crazy.
What?
You called me crazy?
I didn't call you crazy. I just made my predictions. You made your predictions and yours came to fruition again.
Like two correct scores in one day. That's like
12
that's
points.
That's mad. That's crazy.
12 points.
What can I say? Japan came again down from 1-0 to win Spain with two rapid fire goals and then a clean defensive action for them. And they topped the group, surprisingly.
I would just say for this particular game, I would just say that regardless of, you know, Spain losing, I feel like they knew that they were in the clear, kind of. Because, you know, it's this kind of situation that I know these other people are, I know that this World Cup, it cannot really be predicted.
Yeah.
But I know these people and come on. These people are playing the people we gave 7, and these people are good.
And I know they're going to win.
And I know
that you're not going to win with that kind of magic. But that's a tricky thing to play with because when we saw how the games were going, right?
Yeah.
Especially when the comeback was completed by Costa Rica before Germany again. At that kind of situation, if you say like he featured his best team. Right, Enrique Pichu is best team.
Yeah.
So I don't think he was having the feeling that, okay, even if we lose, we are still going to... I feel like he saw the worst outcome of that match as a draw.
They were more lax in the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like he saw the worst outcome. He saw it as a draw.
Yeah.
He didn't actually see Japan win. Well, Japan went ahead, when looking at your phone or looking elsewhere, or asking your assistant manager, they tell you that, okay, Germany needs to score 4 goals to win.
No, but I feel they were less clinical in the game, but because like Spain controlled. This is the exact same thing that happened with Germany.
Yes.
Like Spain controlled possession, had more attempts, had more shots on target.
But Japan were just clinical when they had.
Yeah, whenever they had the chance, they just found a way to get the ball in the back of the net. And like that's what actually aided them.
But second goal.
Yeah, there's like, still a lot of talk about that second goal anyway. But
looking from one angle, it looks like the ball has crossed the line.
What margins are we using to?
Okay, so we know that the ball is a sphere, right? Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when the base of the ball is touching, it has crossed the line.
Mm-hmm.
That just means that the base, the many curved part of the sphere, if that part hasn't crossed the line yet. Then it's not a corner. It's just like when you guys play against Liverpool and that kind of Walker clearance, right, from the line.
Mm-hmm.
The ball itself, the base of the sphere, the ball had actually crossed the line, but the remaining parts, the remaining curved area, hadn't crossed it before the clearance, and that was what they used to quantify as not a goal. And that same thing applied here. When you look at it from this angle, you say yes, okay, the base has passed the line, but the other parts, when you look from above, which is the best place to look at it from, had not. So I feel like that was a goal. Credit to the player not giving up, because we know most times you just like the chance has gone, that kind of thing. But he's caught back and then, whew, surprisingly, Japanese, they're clean, they're clinical. I feel like they should win the fans of the tournament. Yes, because even when they lost, they still kept on with doing what they did. Well, even when the match started, they were not, if like the first game against Qatar, Ecuador, it was not even their game. When they were doing, they actually went around and picked up their trash and picked up other countries' trash. And that was something great, that was something humanitarian. I feel like there should be an award for their fans and also for the team.
Okay. Well, obviously, like, I'm not I don't know, they didn't use VAR for that. I don't think they use VAR for that.
No, they use VAR, definitely. It was what they call it? It was an action that led to a goal, right? So definitely VAR has to come in play because a goal was scored. If a goal is scored, or if a goal is counted as in a goal.
No, see something, yeah? Like, I don't think that technology that would have been used to confirm, because according to news and all of that, it was just down to like the referee and I think the referee and linesman or something, I don't know, but like I don't know if they use VAR for that.
You don't actually need VAR, right? It's more or less when you actually bring in VAR is when the linesman said that it wasn't a goal, right?
Mm.
And VAR comes in and said, okay, this is a goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like the ball crossing the line now does not involve VAR.
Okay.
If without, as in just from a camera point of view, right?
Yeah.
You can see it that this ball hasn't crossed this line.
Depends on the camera point of view.
Overhead. That's the best for every distance. So it has to be overhead. Because if you're looking from under, how will you be judging from under the ball? It has to be from above the ball, not under the ball. This has happened so many times, but it has happened most times in the goal line technology, right?
Mm.
And now this is, but basically the goal line technology and this line, they are both the same line. So it's just the exact same thing. It's not just outside the post.
All right. Lucky Japan.
Lucky Joshua.
Lucky Japan.
Lucky Joshua. JJ, let's go. Yeah, but that brings us to the games of today.
South Korea, Portugal, Ghana, Uruguay, Serbia, Switzerland, Cameroon, Brazil. Everybody wants a piece of the round of 16.
No one wants to go out. Brazil and Portugal have qualified, but the rest of the six teams have it all to play for on this last group stage day. How do you see the match going? Let's start with the first one. Let's say South Korea, Portugal. How do you see it going?
Portugal winning.
Nothing else. You don't give South Korea any chance at all. After seeing the likes of Japan and Morocco and...
Yeah, Portugal is winning this game, bro.
Well,
you can make whatever ballsy predictions.
No, it's not actually a ballsy prediction, right?
Portugal is winning because regardless of them being in a position to qualify, trust me, if they start Ronaldo, they definitely want to score goals.
No, I get something right.
Okay.
You have to look at your team and look at your pattern of play and look at how they have played over their last two games. Mm-hmm. To know whether you're actually going to give us a prediction.
Okay.
And we said it before about Japan, that Japan was more or less, they played better when they played against a stronger team, because then you just have to sit back and relax and then hit your counter.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
But South Korea doesn't possess this. We saw their fight back against Ghana, but that was more or less because Ghana were actually feeling like they had won the game and they became careless, right? Well, Portugal are not going to do that because these people are basically looking to find themselves maybe the top goal scorer award.
Definitely.
Exactly. And people like Rafael Leao won't tie down their spots.
Mm-hmm.
And Silva is always going to drop a performance.
Yes.
João Félix misfiring right now, but he's still scoring and he might still want to score.
Yes.
Fernandez definitely is on his own trying to win the player
more
tournament.
Goals, yes.
So, yeah, a lot of sense there. And I don't think South Korea is going to have anything against Portugal. As much as I would like them to,
mm-hmm.
right, I still think that Portugal is going to win.
Okay.
I don't look at it down to Ronaldo, right? I feel like it's going to be the same way other games have been when they are playing well without the interference of Ronaldo. So I'm going with you on the same thing. Maybe probably a Portugal win 3-0.
Okay, Portugal win 3-0.
Exactly. What about you?
Yeah, same scoreline, 3-0.
No chance for South Korea. We were shocked last time when we went like this and we felt France was going to go in there and dominate. But that's another thing, right? Portugal might actually play a second 11 the same way. And this was the same thing that happened that day. We failed to take account of that. That seeing the fact that they had actually won their first two games and they had qualified, they might actually see the chance of any second as a good idea because that puts them in the group, in the path to play Brazil and Argentina. So is that something they should avoid, or should they, at this point,
whether they win or lose, right? They are not finishing second.
Goal difference.
Nope. They have 3 goals. They have 3 goals.
Ghana has.
Ghana has 0 goal difference.
Exactly.
Yeah. So unless you're telling me Ghana is going to win Uruguay 3-0 to take them first position.
why do you laugh like it's not possible? This is the thing. No problem.
See, Ghana scored 3 against South Korea, but they conceded 2. Yeah.
No problem.
Scored 2 against Portugal, but they conceded 3.
So yeah, for the Portugal game, you're going what?
I'm going 3-0 for Portugal.
Same team as me. All right. So let's go to that game, because that's the game I want to talk about right now. The Ghana Uruguay. So how do you really see this game? Because for you to actually say that you don't actually see Ghana scoring 3 goals in the game.
Yeah, I don't see them score. Like, I don't see them winning. For them to be able to top this table, Portugal have to lose.
Not about topping. No.
I'm just saying, because he said like Portugal will want to like finish. Like, they don't really care because they've qualified already. You get. But I'm saying, if Ghana have to top this, if Portugal are looking for second place, they need Ghana to win. And they lose. They need Ghana to win and to win by like 3 goals.
If you win by 2 goals and South Korea wins by 2 goals, they qualify as first. Because they minus 2 goals from they minus 2 goals from Portugal.
Are we judging based on our predictions or what?
No, we're judging. Leave our predictions. We have predicted Portugal to win, right? But we're looking at the fact that Portugal might actually feel this a lesser 11. And feeling a lesser 11 increased chance for South Korea, but South Korea are going to attack from the onset till the 19th minute, because you know that the only way for them to qualify is by them winning the match.
Mm-hmm.
South Korea are going to win this game. Portugal are coming here to draw or win, right?
Mm-hmm.
A draw sees them top the group, no matter what Ghana does.
Uh-huh.
So they're coming with full fire while Portugal will be thinking of resting their best players for the next game.
Okay.
I don't think Fernandes starts this game.
Okay.
I don't think Rafael Leão starts this game.
Did he start the last game? No, he didn't. So
what can I say?
No, just hold up. Yeah, we are looking at this. We know they are not going to play completely. Maybe the coach might probably play like 75% new players or 50% new players. They have Diogo Dalot.
Pepe won't play.
They have Diogo Dalot. They have João Palhinha. They have Rafael Guerreiro. They have André Silva, José Sá, Rafael Leão, Vininha, João Mario, Matheus Nunes.
And you feel like all these players...
Carlos Ramos.
You feel like all these players will be the ones to beat South Korea.
Bro, we know they're not going to start all these players that I just listed.
They might actually do that. if you are trying to predict the score that France would have started,
France still started some good players, just that they were just that they were out of position.
To Kameni.
That's France, and you see eventually they brought in Mbappe and the rest. That's France, yeah, and we cannot take the same coaching mentality of Deschamps and put it on.
Down to coaching mentality.
You want to avoid your first 11 getting injured or fully rested, having them fully rested and fit for the next, as in for the round of 16, since you secured group qualification. I understand that, but in this scenario, trust me. Whenever they release lineups, we'll see whether I was to be trusted. But trust me, Portugal, they are not going to. 85, they're not going to play 75% new players in this game.
Okay. Well, I'm going to tell you that there are 3 teams that won the first 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
France, Portugal, and Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And these 3 teams, the first one did exactly what I expected them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Rest players.
Mm-hmm.
The only players that played that were in the first 11 were Tchouaméni, Raphael Varane.
Mm-hmm.
And who else?
Camavinga.
Kamavinga was not in first 11. That was his first match, and he even played as a left back.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not in first 11. Their front line of Dembele, Giroud, Mbappe were all on the bench. Griezmann was on the bench.
Mm-hmm.
So Rabiot was on the bench. So they basically rested almost all their players, apart from Varane and Varane, Konate, and Tchouaméni, 3 players.
Mm-hmm.
Even Lloris was rested. Mm-hmm. And now Portugal is the next team that won their first 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing is going to apply for them. They're going to rest after 11. They're going to rest nothing less than 9.
See something?
At least. eight. See, at least eight, at
in,
most 10.
In your mind, Bruno Fernandes is not going to start.
I know Fernandes is not going to start.
Okay, who else is not going to start?
I know that Bernardo Silva is not starting. I know that João Felix is not starting. I know that Cancelo is not starting. I know that Diaz is not starting. I know that Ruben Neves is not starting. All these players are going to be
like I said, they are not going to rest 75%, 85% of
okay, of since we do not know, so it's all up for what predictions, right? So we still go, I still go with my 3-0 win for Portugal. What can I say? I'm going with this 3-0 because I'm going safe today. There's high chance that Portugal and South Korea actually get something out of this game.
Mm.
Well, Ghana, Uruguay, how do you see the game going?
I see that game ending in a draw. I don't know what in all this. You see, one thing I feel Ghana will come into this game will be like some weird type of emotions, and if they don't take their time, it's going to.
I don't think they're going to have those emotions because.
Yes, the players are relatively new.
They don't actually have it.
That's what I'm saying. The players are relatively new and all of that, but you know how football is. Regardless of what the players on the pitch, like regardless of what, like the players, it said so. There are sometimes that when you have a certain history and then you know that like clouds the entire like atmosphere of that particular game.
So
you might go in thinking that you're not feeling this, but there's that.
When something managed to repeat itself again.
Yes.
I understand that. But okay, so we're looking at that. You see, this is like a 1-1 draw. What?
You know, Uruguay has failed to score in their last match against Portugal.
They haven't scored a goal.
Oh, well. And look at them having finishers like Nunez and Suarez.
And Cavani. And Valverde is the best midfielder in the world.
Man, life is hard.
Life is very hard. How is that game going?
Life is hard.
Mm-hmm.
But all Ghana needs is a draw. And West. You know, we've seen them like play well, but then at some points in the games, they usually just become
they are caught up.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to affect them today because they know that today is a 90-minute game, not a 45-minute game.
It does not matter. Like no, that's the funny thing. Yeah, you know that your qualification is on the line. You know that you have to do something, but then there's still just that one moment in the game. Like at that point, it's usually down to. Let's say the other team now.
Yes,
because like
capitalizing.
Yes, capitalize on it. But there's always that one point on the pitch where it's like, what is happening?
That's the reason why they have conceded all the goals.
You get it? Like
two goals against Portugal.
Two
goals. Mistakes
from the defense after then, a solid performance in the first half.
And then secondly, against South Korea, coming back into the game again was down to the same thing again. Where they were not sharp defensively and they costed two headers. But what can I say? If Uruguay get a chance, they will definitely punish Ghana for it. But I think Ghana coming out of this one. I go 3-1 Ghana.
Okay, 3-1 Ghana. Well, Uruguay have all to fight for because if they win 4 points, and if Portugal win South Korea, they qualify. So like they have all to fight for. Normally, I would say let me go with a win for Uruguay, but I believe Ghana can actually stop that from happening. So I would just go with my draw.
Okay, what?
I'll go with my draw. 2-2.
2-2 draw. When will this correct score 2-2 play? It has been dragged for a very long time. And that brings us into the 8 o'clock games for the day. First but not the last, Serbia Switzerland. How do you see that game?
Serbia, Switzerland, this one.
3 points. They have all to fight.
Yeah, see, both. You see, these two teams, apart from like Brazil and Portugal, like the other people have everything to fight for.
Exactly.
So, Cameroon have a tougher battle. They're playing Brazil. And second they need
Brazil.
Whichever 11 they face, and they need to win. Whichever 11 they face, Brazil is Brazil, guys.
Yeah.
And they need to win this game to get 4 points, and then they need to hope that Serbia wins Switzerland. So you get, and and then they will now need to take a look at goal difference. For that, like, there's a lot of permutations and calculations that we really don't need to delve into. So generally, I see, I don't know. Like, I like Serbia. That's the truth. I like Serbia, right? And yeah, attacking options. I like their attacking options. The Mitrovic, Savic. I like those guys. And we saw them score. I think that was against Cameroon.
Yes.
Right.
Three-three.
Yeah, they ended 3-3. We saw them, but then they were leading. Yes. So that's another thing. Defensive errors. So like they were leading 2-1, and all of a sudden, match ended 3-3. But that's a game that you would have expected them to comfortably see out. But yes. Yeah, it's the World Cup. Anything can happen. So this game.
You like Brazil last? You like Brazil last?
No, this let me just get it out of the way. All to fight for. I see Switzerland winning.
Ooh. And by what margin is that?
2-1. Serbia's defense will cost them again.
Okay, so I know Switzerland is one of the toughest teams to score. Brazil really had to grind to get that one goal.
Yep.
So I don't think Serbia are able to break the Switzerland defense. I'm going to go 0 for Serbia, and I'm going to go 1 for Switzerland. If it's going to be that close.
Okay.
I don't really see Switzerland scoring a lot because they don't really create a lot of chances. They actually
just one goal.
Exactly. They take the middle from you. They win the midfield battles. They are strong defensively, and they just would need that one chance, because you know, once they score, it's over.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go with 1-0. And that brings us to the last game for today. Cameroon Brazil. As I say, the English invented football, and the Brazilians perfected it.
You see something, yeah? This game, I feel like if Brazil are going for a, like, to finish well in this game, then that their backline needs to remain as it is, because I feel if they make any changes to the backline, they will probably concede a goal today.
But that's not about Brazil, right?
Yeah,
they have lots of players. But one thing this coach did in this World Cup was he didn't carry so much defenders.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have plan on changing his defensive.
Yeah,
we'll Daniel Alves is there definitely to play as right back.
Uh huh.
When time comes, but I feel like the performance of Milisha at right back, you know, Milisha wasn't, he didn't play the first game.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came into the second game as a right back, and I feel like with his performance, he's going to retain his position.
Okay.
And then to make matters worse for Cameroon, with the likes of Alden Richarlison, Vinicius, Neymar still on injury, right? So Rodrigo goes, with all these players being rested, right? With all these players being rested,
yeah,
that's Brazil is actually going to field Gabriel Jesus, Martinelli, Antony, all these guys, they want to make a name for themselves. But I feel like Brazil's greatest upper hand in this competition,
yeah,
is the fact that they don't have anybody that they want to win the golden boot.
Mm.
They are not playing for anybody to score.
Okay.
They just want anybody to score.
Right, yeah.
That's like, whether it's a center back, whether it's like whoever wants to score. I think that was what helped France in last World Cup, where, and everyone was complaining that, oh, Giroud is not scoring, why is he still playing? He did not score a single and he won the World Cup.
Yeah.
Because he was a key factor that was there, and it's made people to keep eyes up on him. Keeping eyes on him meant that they stopped looking out for Mbappe. And in this World Cup now, that where Mbappe is always, like, when you're playing France, everybody's eyes on Mbappe right now. Dembele has stepped in, and now it's making you confused. Okay, who exactly am I focusing on? Because these two players, you need to stop them from doing what? From crossing the ball to Giroud. And Griezmann is behind them doing all sorts of magic. And that same thing applies for Brazil, where they are having, Martinelli starting today, for example. And you're like, okay, if I can keep Martinelli quiet, that's going to make things worse for me, because they will remove him and bring in Vinicius.
Yeah.
If I stop Gabriel Jesus from scoring, that's not even an issue, because this guy is not even trying to score. He's worse trying to create more chances. So let's try and stop him from creating. Then you say you want to hold Anthony, and oh my God, he, you know, we all know him. He needs just a little space, and he bends one into the top corner. And all this, you're looking back, okay, no problem. Casemiro might actually see this one out. And you're bringing Bruno Guimaraes and Fabinho. Things are not getting better for you, right? So I don't know. I feel bad for Cameroon. I never supported them in the World Cup. I never supported them in the AFCON. I've never supported them before in the whole, right? But I feel like they are unlucky to have picked their last game against Brazil. They will come out all guns blazing, definitely. And that will be the end for them. I'm going 4-0 Brazil.
4-0, wow. Okay. Yeah, I'll go 3.
Why do you feel 3?
Because we got like if Brazil starts the second 11, and yeah, we know everyone wants to come and make a name for yourself, but I just feel it's going to end 3. Like the goals will not be that much. I was going to say 3-1, but I don't really see Cameroon breaking that Brazilian defense and getting a goal. Yeah, so I'll just go with 3-0.
You have any scorers in mind?
What?
You have any scorers in mind?
Yeah, depends on who they start anyway, but I feel Martinelli, Gabriel Jesus won't score. Probably one from Anthony, and then someone in the midfield.
So many players to mark, but what can we say? That's Brazil for you.
Alright, so those are our predictions for today. Yesterday's predictions didn't turn out good for me. Just one. I had just 3 points from all of yesterday, man. And this man that's gloating beside me.
I'm not gloating, man. I'm
just feeling yourself. You're proud, yeah? You're feeling yourself. Man, high shoulders. 50-50, shoulder pad. 100,
huh? I told you rode to 70. I mean...
Okay. So, he had 15 points from yesterday. 15 points. And that's like... Added to his 60, that's 75, man.
Woo! Man, so, that's what you call a comeback.
That's mad, man. I had 75, I'm at 78. So, I still got that slender 3-point lead, 3-point gap. Do. But, things change in a jiffy.
That's football for you, man.
That's life. Things change.
I see it yesterday and you didn't see it coming.
We'll see at the end of today where we both stand. If I still have my lead or if it is relinquished and I fall behind again and have to force my own comeback.
Road to 80. We move.
Road to 100. I don't know what you're talking about. Road to 100, bro. So, yeah, that's it. Hopefully, our predictions will turn out right. Well, my predictions will turn out right. I don't know for him, but hopefully, my predictions will turn out right. And the people I want to see in the round of 16 will be there.
Yeah, so it's kind of close, right? We both predicted a 3-0 win for Portugal. I feel like we are both going to lose on that. Because I actually see South Korea coming into the game. If Portugal feel the second 11,
yeah.
I see South Korea coming there and actually winning or getting a draw for out of the game. We both, okay, for the Ghana game, I went with Ghana win.
I went to Uruguay, yeah.
I went to a draw, a 2-2 draw.
Yeah.
And then for the Serbia and Switzerland game, we both went with win. So what's the, I actually decide that maybe actually score. Correct score yeah. or... A opposition win, nice for opposition Serbia goal. Or a draw.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Then last
yeah,
but not
yeah,
the
yeah.
least, we both went with clean sheets for Brazil in a 4-0 and 3-0 win. So it's not really much.
Yeah, it's just the correct score. Yeah, it's just the correct scores. But we'll see at the end of the day. We'll see. Anyway, yeah, this is the end of today's episode of the World Cup series, you know, on your favorite podcast, Not Just Sports, with Will and Jay. We're glad to have you guys with us.
Please tune in for tomorrow's game because definitely we talked about Netherlands-USA game and we argued about that.
Yeah, we argued about it.
And it's coming up tomorrow and he believes the Netherlands is going to win. But me, as the backer for the underdogs.
Underdog.
What can I say? I still go with my USA getting a point out of that. Probably a penalty shootout. But all I know is that I'm going to predict the correct score tomorrow, definitely. But for today, I'm just going to say that USA ain't going to lose that game.
All right, we're going to see tomorrow, Netherlands-USA. All right, so that's it for today, guys. See you next time. We hope you join us on the next episode of the World Cup series. Bye. Did you enjoy the podcast you just listened to? If you did, tap the follow button and turn on our notifications so you don't miss out on any of our episodes. See ya!